now Pam's going to come and do the reading. Thanks, Pam.
The reading this morning is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and it's on page 452, if you're using a church Bible. And it's Jehoshaphat defeats Moab and Ammon. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Munites, came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for his splendor of his holiness. And they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Amen.
Thank you, Pam, you did that superbly. I'm so sorry, it was so long and so many horrible words in it. This is one of my favourite stories of King Jehoshaphat, because he was one of the few godly kings. And here we see him as a great example and encouragement to us in how he deals with this life-threatening situation. We read in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 2, that some people came and told him that a vast army was coming to attack him and his people. And in order to help us with this story, there are four W's. The first W is, we notice Jehoshaphat went to God. When he knew what was happening, he didn't go to anybody else, he didn't panic and go to the people. First of all, he went to God. Jehoshaphat committed the situation to him, and he then went to the people and told them what was happening. So he first went to God to lift the situation before him, and he then went to the people to reassure them. And also he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah, for the whole tribe of Judah. And then when everyone was gathered together, they went together and sought God's direction. Jehoshaphat then stood up and spoke to God. And notice Jehoshaphat doesn't start by saying, "Help me, God," like we probably would in a bad situation. He starts by praising God. Verse 6 says, where he acknowledges that God is the God of his ancestors and the God in heaven who rules over everything. Jehoshaphat acknowledges that power and might are in God's hands, not his, and that no one can withstand God. He also reminded God that he had driven out the inhabitants of this land to give it to Israel, and now they were standing in God's presence in his temple, asking him to help them in their distress. Jehoshaphat knows he had to commit the situation to God because he acknowledged that only God can save the nation. And he goes on to ask for God's favour because his people are God's people. And he acknowledges God's sovereignty over the current situation. He believed God was in control and focused on God's power rather than his own. I wonder how we react in a difficult kind of situation. Do we focus on God's power or on our own limitations? Jehoshaphat also took comfort in God's promises, and he professes complete dependence on God and his power. In verse 12, we see Jehoshaphat asking God to judge these evil men and reiterating to God that they have no power to face this vast army that is attacking them. And I love this next sentence when Jehoshaphat says to God, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And he speaks for himself and the people. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I wonder this morning, where are our eyes? Are our eyes on God, or are they on something else? Are we dependent, looking on God and looking for his direction? Jehoshaphat has also just this total reliance on God. We read in verse 13, all the men of Judah with their wives and children stood before the Lord. They were all standing in unity. I wonder, as a church, do we stand in unity? We all need to stand together. The world is in such a terrible state, isn't it? And we as a church need to stand together to support and love and care for each other, just as Jehoshaphat did with his people. It's all very challenging though, isn't it? It's all very challenging. But the second W is the people and Jehoshaphat waited on God. We don't know how long they waited, but it says a remarkable thing happened. Jaziel, one of the people, has a word from God. A wonderful word of comfort. God says, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the battle is God's, not yours. He then goes on to say, march down against them. They will be climbing up the path of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. But you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord that he will give you. Do not be discouraged or afraid. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Isn't that wonderful? And we can say the same. We know that God is with us today and tomorrow, and he will be with us always. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And again, we see Jehoshaphat and the people praising God. They fell down in worship. They believed God and trusted him for deliverance. They could have just sit back and said, well, God's promised to deliver us. That's fine. We don't have to do anything. But they obeyed God. They did what he told them to do through Jehazel's prophecy. They took up their positions as God told them to, and then they held firm. They stood there. And this is the third W, they watched for God's deliverance. We all have our part to play, don't we? When we pray and ask God to help us, we have to do our part. And we must have faith that God will help us. But we also remember to praise and thank him. Look at what happened in this story. Jehoshaphat appointed certain men to sing to the Lord. I don't know whether that was because they had the best voices or whether there was other reasons, but he appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him as they went out at the head of the army. They said, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And look what happened as they began to sing and praise to God. He answered their prayer, and the Lord set ambushes against the men. And they were all confused, and they started attacking each other, and they were defeated. Verse 24 says, when the men of Judah looked, they only saw dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. What a fantastic answer to prayer. God confused the armies, and they attacked each other. That's the final W. The people and Jehoshaphat won the battle. I think verse 27 reminds us that we must remember to say thank you to God. We read that Jehoshaphat led all the men joyfully to Jerusalem, and they entered Jerusalem, and they went to the temple of the Lord with harps, lutes, and trumpets. They didn't forget to say thank you to God. And I wonder, do we always remember to say thank you to God when he answers our prayers? It's lovely when people say thank you to us, isn't it? I remember as a child, my mum always used to make me sit down on Boxing Day and write my thank you letters to friends and family. And I hated doing it. It was such a long chore. But Now I'm so grateful she did, as it made me appreciate that as I got older, the sentiment of thanking people. And how much more we need to thank God. This is a wonderful story, isn't it? It's so encouraging. And we all need to hear, don't we? The battle is not ours, but God's. We may not fight an army every day like Jehoshaphat and his people, but we face temptations and pressure. We face problems and sickness. But we are to remember we have the victory over all these things because God's Spirit is within us. And he overcame everything on the cross when he died for us. If we ask God for help when we face struggles, God will fight for us. And remember, God always triumphs. Even if sometimes things don't appear to be so, he is in control if we let him lead our daily lives and remember to praise him. I remember one of the stories, a true story from one of the pastors in Bournemouth Baptist. It was a really scary story. He went with some Christians to deliver Bibles in persecuted countries. And I forget which country it was, but they had all these Bibles and they were on their way to deliver them. And they suddenly realized they were being followed. And the person who was helping them, driving and everything, he was trying to get rid of them, but he couldn't. And they managed to get to this safe house. And they hid them under this floor. And they could hear the soldiers walking above them and everything. And it was so scary. But eventually, they didn't hear them anymore. And they went out. And their car had been torched and all the Bibles had gone. But they knew God had delivered them that day. And when Shugafta was praying for persecuted Christians, it just reminded me how much we do need to pray for them. They have these battles every day, really dangerous battles with people who are trying to kill them and hurt them. And this was another story of how God fought for our brothers and sisters. So how do we let God fight for us? By realizing the battle is not ours, but God's. By realizing our human limitations and allowing God's strength to work through our fears and weaknesses. We have many fears and weaknesses, don't we? I know so often I feel overwhelmed by circumstances, but when we give them to God, he gives us that added strength and wisdom that we need. And if we ask him, he will always help us in our daily battles. And remember, we don't always have the right words to pray. We sometimes don't know what to say to God. But no matter what we're going through, he knows already. And whatever we say, God already knows. He knows our situations, and we can hand all our problems and concerns over to God. In this story, we're reminded so much of God's faithfulness that we can give him our deepest fears, to put our trust entirely into his hands and leave it with him to answer. But remember, we must praise and thank him like Jehoshaphat and his army as we trust each day. And if we don't get immediate answers or guidance when we pray, we can still set our hope in him. Because remember, his timing is always perfect. And then we will have the strength to march into whatever battles we face with the same battle plan as Jehoshaphat. Because God is with us, just like he was with Jehoshaphat. And the battle is no longer ours, but God's. So this week, as you go, wherever you're going, remember that God is with you. Give him your battles. And know that he will answer your prayers, that he is with you. Verse 30 is a wonderful verse. It says, "And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side." May we find that peace and rest as we walk in faith with our God. Heavenly Father, we ask as we leave this church that you will guide our steps and carry your truth and your love with us. And please, help us remember that the battle is not ours, but yours. Amen.